Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Split Second. Oh wow, what an amazing day of Formula One racing we had on the streets of Jeddah. It's only the second race in the calendar, so fast in the span of 1 week, right? Lots of interesting news and on and off the paddock. We want to thank everyone for listening into our first episode. We deeply appreciate all the wonderful feedback we've got from all our listeners so far. Today we thought we'll take some time to help all our newcomers to get up to speed on how F1 race weekends work. I'll let Jayant, why don't you just kind of briefly walk us through it?
Sure, Sagar. 10 teams, 20 drivers fighting for the glory of becoming a world championship team and a world championship driver. There are two types of race weekend structures currently in Formula One. One, you have a regular weekend with three practice sessions, one qualifying and one complete race. The race goes for 305 kilometers. They just divide by number of laps they can do it and round it off. The winner gets 25 points. The 10th man in the grid gets 1 point. And the second weekend structure goes through a sprint weekend, which is right now for this year, you have 6 races with that weekend structure, where you're going to start with only one practice session where the teams are going to do all the setups and changes based on what they have seen on the track and the simulators. Then they go for a sprint qualifying, what they're going to have a short one-third of a race on a Saturday. The Saturday with another main race qualifying, which is going to end up going to a Sunday race. Again, the point structure remains the same. But on the sprint race, the drivers are also going to get like 8 points for the first driver who crosses the line till the 8th one who gets 1 point. So additionally, the driver who ends up in the top 10 in a main race with the fastest lap will also get an additional points. And it comes to the qualifying, which actually decides who's going to start front of the start line. It all depends in 3 different qualifying sessions where it goes through. So the first qualifying, it's a 5-driver elimination where every driver has a chance to do multiple laps based on the allocated time what they have. And whoever has the least amount of time where he completes a lap will be the friend. And the bottom 5 will eliminate in the first qualifying session. And the top 15 now will advance to Q2. And again, the same thing repeats for lesser time now overall. And then the 5 will go out and the final qualifying session, which would be Q3, where 10 drivers will fight for the front rows to start the race on. So that's our typical Formula One race start on every weekend. So it's been a very interesting week in Formula One right off the paddock. So I'm going to ask Sagar 2 important questions. Off the paddock, pretty big news on the whole Red Bull saga. Yeah. How we spoke about last week, it's just developing more and more. Mm-hmm. I should say complete unwanted distractions to the drivers and also the teams here. We're hearing multiple news from multiple sources, you know, which are not yet official in all over places. We heard Verstappen would move out if Helmut Marko would potentially move out of the team. What we have heard yesterday, that he's been the prime reason why the leaks have happened. So Sagar, you being the Red Bull fan, now there are high chances that, you know, Verstappen can actually move out of Red Bull if Marko moves. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, let's bring in the most recent update on the whole Red Bull saga story from where we left off last week. The last thing from last week, what we heard was Christian Horner was acquitted from all the allegations that was put over him from an independent investigator hired by Red Bull. But apart from that, the news started breaking that Jos Verstappen's, that is Verstappen's dad, went ahead and told the root of all problems at Red Bull currently is Christian Horner itself, and he needs to resign for the team to continue functioning normally, right? So that's when, again, I think the whole story reopened a new chapter, basically. Also, there were certain rumors, not rumors actually, basically there's an inquiry going on whether Helmut Marko was involved in leaking a certain anonymous link that contained WhatsApp messages of what Christian Horner was alleged of doing with his employee, a Red Bull employer who accused Christian Horner of coercive and controlling behavior in the first place. There has been an update that Red Bull has suspended the female employer who accused Christian Horner of controlling her in a coercive manner.
Exactly. I think it came up on yesterday morning in our time.
Yeah. Yes. So these are a sequence of events that happened over the week, right? Now, coming back to your question, I think the most recent response that Max has given is that if Helmut leaves pending an inquiry from Red Bull, then he's going to follow that path and he probably might look for another drive next year. What he defined as crazy, something crazy happened, and that he defines craziness as Helmut leaving Red Bull. Now, what's my take on this, right? Like I said last week, there is an internal conflict brewing in Red Bull. And Red Bull higher management, whoever is involved from the CEO level, is trying to keep this under the wraps. They're trying not to expose the whole situation to the media for some reason. And there is an internal conflict brewing in Red Bull. I can definitely see that Jos Verstappen and Christian Horner are not in loggerheads again with each other. And I can also sense that Helmut Marko is most likely in Jos Verstappen's side, right? Now, we don't know the details of it. I mean, I can't really come up with a firm opinion without knowing the factual details of what is actually going on in Red Bull, right? I can only speak of what things could happen from the way they're performing on track in Red Bull. And I don't see any of that off-track distractions impacting their on-track performance, none whatsoever. Even in the conversations they have throughout the radio, or, you know, where Christian Horner comes and congratulates Max Verstappen, as like he always does, like, congrats, Max, you've done a brilliant job and whatsoever. So I don't see the fracture of relationship showing up in the public stage itself. And I don't see Max leaving a Red Bull unless and until Helmut Marko leaves. Now, that is a big factor. Is Helmut Marko going to leave Red Bull? I think the inquiry is part of the protocol that every company is following. But the outcome of it, I do not think that Red Bull would actually go ahead and fire Helmut Marko, because that would have a wider implication on the team itself, because their star driver is Verstappen, who's delivering these results on an every weekend basis, right? And I don't see a reason why Red Bull would let that star performer go out of their team. That is basically their trump card.
Exactly. So if you do ask me about the whole saga, is that I heard Christian Horner from multiple reports and also multiple people tweeting, pretty good agencies tweeting on Twitter, that Christian actually told the top management that he can win races without Max Verstappen, with the car what he has. And if I am firing Marko with all the allegation from the Red Bull higher management, the first person who's going to show up on Marco's door is Toto Wolff. Everyone knows it. Mm-hmm. Toto is going to show up and he's going to hire Marko, and you can clearly see 2025, Max Verstappen in a silver halo. Time will tell, like how we spoke last week, but it's going to be an unwanted attention for Max with whatever the form he is in. I know he's doing very good on his track.
I don't think it affects him at all. Like, no, the performance I'm seeing on the grid, I mean, the body language he shows when he answers such questions, I don't think it affects him even one bit.
I agree with you, but if you look at Jos Verstappen and also Max Verstappen, they want to have a clear mind when they go on to a weekend.
Yeah.
Because now the car is so good, you potentially, and we know what's
there's
Max.
No reason for to entertain an option of going. And honestly, it doesn't make sense from his career perspective. Leave the politics behind. From a career perspective, moving to Mercedes and looking at their performance right now in the current set of regulations, it doesn't make any sense for Max Verstappen to move to Mercedes. It would be a career suicide to actually get into another team and try to win championships with them. Maybe on the long run, with the potential Max has as a driver, he might end up doing that. But I don't think any of his close aide would advise him to move to another team the way Red Bull is performing right now.
We'll see. If Marko leaves, what is going to be the future for the current world champion Max Verstappen? Mm-hmm. So there are multiple stories of different drivers going different ways. We got a confirmation from Audi that they're going to 100% off Sauber, which is a good sign. You know, again, it's an engine manufacturer who's actually coming into the sport, you know, fighting in the championship with more new ideas on understanding the regulations and everything. So coming to our current race this weekend, Jeddah being the fastest street track of the season with 27 corners, being the 27 being the most naughtiest one we know. It's been a pretty eventful weekend. What are your thoughts on how did the qualifying go? Did you expect Max doing what Max did, taking that pole?
Purple sectors in all three sectors? No, I did not expect that. No. The level of dominance he showed and the potential that Red Bull RB20 car has is just immense. And I think there is a lot more to unlock in that car throughout the course of the season. But what Max did was just a combination of a brilliant car and a brilliant driver.
Yeah, and as how Perez told at the end of the race today to David Coulthard, that he's actually disappointed that he didn't end up in the front row. You know, but again, Charles being the greatest one-lap driver right now, I thought we actually would have a great race as a great start. But Charles this time was more careful in not doing the mistake what he did in Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
Don't attack right away. Wait for a time. Mm-hmm. He knows that the Red Bulls are faster cars.
So there's no point in destroying your tires.
Exactly. He waited. He seized the opportunity. He got into the podium, which is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And just not about the top two teams. Biggest news of the weekend, Oliver Bearman, an 18-year-old driver who is the third youngest driver to actually debut and the youngest ever driver to actually debut in a Ferrari. I should say he is very impressive on his first stint, coming to a race 36 hours before, got a call probably on
morning.
On Thursday. I should say
2 a.m. somewhere around that.
He had to jump into Carlos Sainz's car in FP3, just missing out Q3 in what, 0.003 of a second.
Yeah.
And, his finishing of the race starting from 11th to 7th. It's a pretty impressive stint for a young driver. Unfortunately, we all know that it's very tough for him to actually get that spot for Ferrari next year or coming years. We all know that Hamilton and Leclerc are going to be their drivers in 2025. With the potential what we see, with almost what 13 drivers expiring their contracts at the end of the season, I potentially see that someone can.
There will be many eyes looking into this performance in the paddock. There'll be many teams looking into this performance and looking to at least sign him on a reserve basis for the coming years.
And qualifying, other team which impressed me a lot until Q2 was Aston Martin.
Mm.
They were pulling, especially Stroll too. Like, he did it not once, not twice. Whenever you need that one lap to get you out from the danger zone, he just comes out with purple sectors at the end. That was one big surprise.
No, it was quite surprising for me too. I think their performance during free practice too was quite inspiring. And I thought they would definitely be a name in the top 10, fighting the McLarens or probably the Mercedes too. But unfortunately, what happened in Q3? I don't know. Is it the car or is it the wrong choice of tires? Or they didn't get the right temperature?
As we've seen from Mercedes teams all over the race through, when they have too much amount of fuel in the car, they tend to not as quicker as the other cars. You know, just to give you a comparison, there was this time when Piastri was chasing Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
In DRS, he just gets a 6 kilometers high speed. Compared to a Ferrari, which is with Charles trying to chase, he was almost at 16 kilometers per hour. I mean, that is one thing too. And as we know, Ferrari is so strong on those corners. Ferrari with their current car setup, they are the quickest. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the straight lane spin, everyone knows Red Bull is the fastest.
Red Bull, yeah.
But on the slow corners, Ferrari did it. So, and Charles, how he does it, very good week after week. Getting that front row. He's been a very, very good...
He's being very consistent.
Very consistent. Yeah.
I have to take a note of that.
And, yeah.
And that's interesting because of Charles's performance. It was already spicing up things for the next year. When he gets the teammate of Hamilton's pedigree as his teammate.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite interesting, the battle between them. But Charles, I know, he's performing pretty consistently. And if he can keep this up and one day if Ferrari can deliver him a championship winning car, you know who is the candidate to take away the crown from Verstappen.
Exactly, yeah. And what do you think is the biggest struggle for that Mercedes right now? From where they have ended up in the last season, second position.
Mm-hmm.
I know they just scraped out with a couple of errors from Ferrari, or else we all know Ferrari would have been in the P2. But still, from their performance from P2, what do you think is going wrong in Mercedes right now?
I don't think their race pace was as strong as what it indicated during their test runs and during earlier freak practices in Bahrain and whatnot. their tire, I don't know how their tire degradation is working. Because both Russell and Hamilton pointed out that the car is much better, more stable around the slow corners, plus a lot of less bouncing, what they've experienced over this year. I believe their race pace is quite isn't there. I don't think.
Yeah, especially the straight lines.
It's just not there.
Even in between when Hamilton was trying to chase either Norris or Piastri.
Yeah, he couldn't get the move done.
He was telling that McLaren's is so fast in the straights. I think he was actually chasing Norris.
So I think they bought a lot of upgrades to improve the stability of the car, but while bringing that upgrade, they've sacrificed a bit on the race pace. I think their performance has actually gone down from what it was last year. Yeah. I think last year you could probably salvage a podium spot, but now it's looking tougher. It's looking like they're battling the McLarens right now.
Exactly.
They're not even fighting the Ferraris.
Which is a big surprise. I was expecting in the start of the season, at least for the second position, I'm going to see at least a three-way competition between McLaren, Ferrari and Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, we know Mercedes, the second half of the season, they're pretty strong in getting, you know, car up and doing pretty good improvements in the season. So, and McLaren being McLaren, they'd show the promise. Still, if you ask me, are they a contender to be the podium yet? Maybe not. Maybe with a couple of good strategy.
Depending on the circuit, maybe different tracks might suit McLaren a little bit better. Yeah. I don't think high speed circuits like Jeddah would suit. Yeah. Probably in like a Monaco or Baku, we might see an upsurge in McLaren's performance. Let's see how that goes.
How that goes, And coming to our backtrackers, Alpine, unfortunately, again, they're going back and back every week. They don't have any upgrades coming to this week. Tried a trump card on Gasly on the race start with the gearbox issue, and he ended up retiring the car in hardly 3-4 corners. Feel bad for him, but, you know, Alpine and their struggles.
I mean, it is. I think it's going to take some time before Alpine comes up to speed and they are actually able to challenge further up the grid.
Yep.
They're in the process of figuring out their issues, and it is going to take some time. We really can't really expect much from Alpine.
Haas, what do you think about Haas?
Surprising performance.
Nico Hülkenberg, as he does every time, he somehow comes.
He's been the dark horse all throughout the years, right? He's always gone under the radar, but some of his performance at times has been fabulous.
And you know, in a sense, we also have to talk about how Kevin Magnussen has actually allowed Haas to get that one very important point in their championship today. He got 20 seconds of penalties, but still the way how he managed to keep all the other backtrackers not to pass him, and also give time for Nico and Zoe to actually pull away from them, even with a pit stop. Nico Hülkenberg just holding at that beaten position. If you ask me, apart from Ollie being driver of the day, I would say Magnussen and Norris are the two strong contenders to get that position. Magnussen, being a complete team man, he actually proved why he is worthy of a driver.
He's a veteran driver.
Yeah.
And Nico Hülkenberg, they've got two veteran drivers in their team, and they're performing at a really high level.
Yeah.
You could always expect them to bring the best out of the car, out of the package they've given.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And also, like Williams having, again, Mercedes car and Mercedes engines, and they have multiple major upgrades to the car where they have a software issue in their. Last race, they have a software issue on their steering wheel with their new setup where they removed their screen mounted on the car to the wheel, like how all other layouts are. They had multiple software issues where the car was underperforming. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, Albon had a contact with Magnussen. Mm-hmm. And still, the way how he drove Albon, he impresses me a lot. Albon, as a driver, he impresses. He give him a good car, he can give you those results. He was, eventually when...
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
I think the only downside in his career was when he fell under Max Verstappen's shadow.
Yeah.
He is definitely a talented driver. He definitely deserves a better package out there.
Yep.
But somehow, I think examples, even Ricardo is a brilliant driver for that matter.
Yeah.
But then he fell under Max Verstappen's shadow and he was kind of downgraded. He was thought he was not good enough to keep that seat.
Yeah.
I think that's the effect Max Verstappen is bringing to the Formula One grid is like his performance is overshadowing everyone else's capability at the moment.
I mean, watching the sport, there've been every era, there've been one person who's actually dominating the sport. Apart from 1, 2, 3 positions today, overall, you know, the fight between Norris, Hamilton, Piastri, Oliver, and till the 15th, 16th position, it was close. It was very close. Everyone were, waiting for that one mistake from the other driver to go in. We also have to appreciate a lot that all the drivers, two races what we have, everyone was so disciplined. I don't see crash driving everywhere. There was one or two instances where there was a little bit of dangerous driving here and there. You know, that's a sport, you know. They are driving at 300 kilometers per hour on the corners, at least at 150 to 180. So it can happen. It's
the probability of making a mistake is really high.
So, but still, I should appreciate every one of the driver on how they actually perform.
We just had one safety car in Jeddah circuit. Can you imagine? That is not expected from Jeddah.
From Jeddah.
Yeah.
And of course, it was a very small error where Lance, he just clipped his front left to the wall, and then it ended up breaking his suspension and straight away going into the wall. I was at that point, I was thinking it would potentially be a red flag, because I've seen those barriers
spice
moving
up.
I thought it's the barriers just moved, but you know, good thing that marshals were able to
clear it off
and then get the race going. And
that's what data does to you, right? Every year you come to the circuit, you study more, the team study more, the drivers get more confidence, and they can extract more out of the car. And that's what happens. They know exactly where to push and where not to push. The limits of the circuit too.
And then you have, with all the current technology and everything, you know, data giving to the team back there in headquarters, and the strategists making those right calls. Yeah, even today, like how Hamilton and Lando didn't pit at the time of the safety car. They just were out for the track position. They gambled, you know.
It did work out almost to an extent,
but not completely.
What they expected.
But
yeah, I mean, it was worthy a gamble. We would like to see more risks taken by teams like that. Yeah. I mean, that is what excites
the whole race. And again, as a Formula One fan, I would expect more close racing to be happening. So the more closer that becomes, the more fight we can see. It's good if it happens, but you know, realistically, even if we out of the 24 races, then with the dominations right now, what we have seen from Max, I should say it's high likely. But apart from Max, from P2 to P10, I potentially see a lot of fight. You cannot count out anyone. So so two races, we have Red Bull P1 and P2, and Ferrari sharing the podium in both the cases. Two different drivers from Ferrari sharing the podium. It'll be a very interesting season for us to see how things evolve through the start to finish with the sprint races this year. And then we'll have a race in Australia in 2 weeks of time. And we'll see more upgrades from teams. I hope we'll have a great racing coming weekends. And I would say thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We'll come back again in 2 weeks of time. Please follow us on Instagram, SplitSecondF1. And also you're going to see our new YouTube channel, which we'll be starting soon, SplitSecondF1. Thank you so much, guys. You all have a wonderful day.
Thank you.